It is Free Radio. I'm Adam Wilborn. Very pleased to be joined tonight by 5 Seconds of Summer. Hello.
Free Radio.
Lovely to see you guys again. Thank you so much for popping back in.
Thanks for having us.
That's cool.
I think the last time we saw each other was, I think, Valentine's Day last year.
Oh, really?
So romantic.
I've got to thank
you guys because you tweeted saying it was lovely popping in and my name trended number one in Australia. So that was pretty decent.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't get any free stuff out of it, but still. It's all good.
What were you expecting? Some free...
I was hoping a holiday.
I mean,
I always hope for a holiday.
Who is this man trending? Get him here. Bring him a holiday.
I mean, this is Free Radio.
Yeah, exactly. So what has been the best bit of the last, 20 months? Because it's been an incredible
20 months.
Period of time.
120.
Well, that was the last time we saw each other. I'm working backwards here.
I think
I had a wicked omelette in Seattle.
I was gonna say something real. Now I feel like I have to say a breakfast item now. I had a sweet breakfast burrito in Los Angeles. We did the album at the start of the year, finished that, and then we did the 6 month, arena tour around the world. So we got to play arenas of the first album. So that was incredible. You can't really beat that.
Can't complain.
You can't complain, man.
And you guys, as you say, have been so busy since then. You've been touring, and then you were back. You sort of pretty much lived in a studio in Los Angeles for about 3 months working on this album.
Yes.
How was that for you guys? Because it must be nice to just, after all the craziness of touring and doing all the promo and stuff like that, just get back to what you're enjoying most, almost.
Yeah. It was incredible.
It was good. We were all living in a house for 3 months together. And at the same time, 3 months to make an album really isn't a massive amount of time. But I think we really did... ourselves justice as songwriters, and we really wrote the album to be able to be played in kind of large spaces. So yeah, I'm really proud of what we've written.
I suppose the thing is with bands, if they're like you guys, is a lot of the time you have to sort of almost do the album when you're on the road. Was it nice to sort of just be able to get away and just do this for even for the 3 months?
For some reason, we're a band who we can't really make music on the road. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think we all kind of said that we wanted to take time to do it, just because, like, we're not really, like, when you're on the road, it's more about inspiration, like getting things to write about, because so much happens on the road and like so many different things happen that influence your life.
You need time to, like, process it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So, taking that and then going back into the studio is what really worked for us. And that was...
Yeah.
And with this being, the second album and you guys having done so well, obviously...
The pressure.
The first time around. But was it a case of you guys, thinking as big as you possibly can? There's Duran Duran on this album. There's the symphony orchestra.
Yeah, we were just saying, let's use other people's songs.
Was it an idea of, like, taking all your favourite things, the sort of the dreams that you'd like to do on an album and then seeing if it was possible, getting an orchestra on a song?
Well, we always wondered how other bands, our favourite bands, did what they did. And, it's just strictly the fact that they just were ambitious and dream big, And that's what we did on this album. We really just set out. We were determined to make really great music, the best music that we made yet. And, we didn't go out trying to write any type of hits or anything like that. We just wrote what came out at the time is what we have on this next album. And really what Callum said is super true. We're very proud of this. And I can't wait to play it live.
Mm.
I've been dying to play it live.
Well, you mentioned that. The Sounds Live, Feels Live tour tickets are going to be on sale later on this week. You're going to be round here on the 14th.
We spent some time on that name.
You're going to be round here the 14th of April next year playing the Genting Arena. What is it like touring in the UK?
I thought it was the Genting.
No, Genting.
Oh, because
no.
I was like, the gentleman's, no. The Genting, the Genting Arena.
Trust me, we had a whole meeting here at work for about an hour just going through that name.
Genting.
Get that one right, otherwise you'll be in trouble there. What's it like for you guys touring in the UK? How does that differ from anywhere else? Because obviously, as you've said, you've toured all over the world.
Could put it in perspective. I mean, we started here very small. We started out playing, we played an acoustic show at Marble Arch in London, and about 15 people turned up the first time we moved over here in 2012. And, in 2016, we'll be doing an arena tour again, our second one in the UK, and that's big for us. A couple of dudes from Sydney, that's dreams come true.
And also, the day off pints as well at the pub in the UK. Yeah, that's
ain't nothing better.
Ain't nothing better.
you really are embracing English culture with that sort of thing.
Mushy peas.
Mushy peas, fish chips, mushy peas.
That's what lunchtime looks like for us today. We got a security dude, and he's like, mate, I'm going to take you to me local. We're excited. Stoke-on-Trent, here we come.
Oh, wow. That's going to be experience having lunch in Stoke-on-Trent.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not complaining.
No, exactly. So you guys are obviously, as you say, you've been on tour a lot. What do you like to do to keep yourselves entertained? Because obviously it can be a long old slog if you're going all over the world. And it's obviously nice to see new places, but a lot of the time you will just be on a tour bus or on a plane or whatever.
Well, you know, we can relate to the English audience here. You know, whoever else is listening. But we play a lot of FIFA in the dressing room.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Except for me.
Ashton is not.
What are you doing when everyone else is playing FIFA then?
I'm sitting in the dressing room alone, waiting for something to happen.
Ashton's sitting outside in the sun with a cup of coffee with his legs crossed.
That's what I do.
Everyone kind of has a different way to entertain themselves.
With his legs crossed.
I've seen that so many times. I've come out from playing FIFA in the dungeon that a dressing room is, and I walk outside, Ashton's just like sitting there with a cup of coffee, just breathing in.
Waiting.
It's great. I love it.
Meditating ahead of the gig or something.
Yeah, but like highly caffeinated meditation. It's like I like both things. I like meditating, but I also like caffeine. So
like being hyped.
I kind of mix them together. And
just a little ball of energy waiting to go on stage. So who's the best at FIFA out of the rest of you guys?
Well, that's work into that. Okay. No, we are probably Callum.
Probably me.
But I can beat him sometimes now. I've really put some effort in. Really put some time and effort into it.
Callum can't beat me.
But Callum, yeah. No.
That's a lie.
That's a lie.
I suck at FIFA.
I mean, sometimes I swoop in and just dominate and make it clear that I can play.
That he is alpha.
And then I leave again. I play like once a year, come in. Don't score any goals. I'm really bad at it, genuinely. It's genuinely one of my downfalls as a human.
Don't worry. You've either got it or you don't. Don't worry. I've got a lot of friends who don't, so I can relate to that. I have, but I've probably got all three.
Me personally, I'm awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Me personally, I'm the best.